Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, indeed. That means three exercises before we speak again, which I think is
exactly. So the exercise from yesterday is still about the body, and the question was, how would you change it? Record and listen.
Uh-huh.
And here is our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Hi, it's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Well, hello.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I've been really enjoying the body questions. One of the things that I've noticed about it is because, you know, anything to do with the body has got all sorts of things going on, and there could be an aspect of me that, if it listens to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, could come up with all manner of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Far more wrong than right, right?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do have a practice of appreciating my body that I've had for a long time. And I can see the benefit from having done that for a long time, and that it builds up and builds up. So that I just, you know, can automatically, you know, not automatically, but, you know, straight away I can see that it's an amazing body. And one of the things I've noticed about doing this, as I said, because it is to do with body, is, and the whole of this amazing retreat that we've been doing, is just opening up the book. I just start smiling, and I just think of everybody, like you and Ashwini and all the monks and all of Sangha and everybody. And then I'm smiling, and I can just, I'm in center, and I can see I've got perspective, and I know that it's a great body, and I can't possibly think of anything that I could change, you know. And when I looked at it, it was like, well, everything that ego might want to change has taught me something, you know, about the value of life and about gratitude and things
not
like that.
Not listening to bogus negativity from ego.
Yeah.
It's all been part of it, hasn't it?
That's right. Yeah. So there's been like sort of two narratives going on. I can hear ego, and I can hear everything that it's saying. And then there's the mentor and life saying its stuff all alongside, and that is just the one that I'm going with. Just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's so perfect, isn't it? When we realize that the opportunity we have is that the voices of self-hate are saying what they're saying.
Yeah.
And we're able, because we're here, and we're used to listening to the mentor and the unconditional acceptance, we can hear those voices and hear those messages for what they are. We don't have to believe them. It's such an opportunity to get really clear about what that system is and what it does.
Yeah. And so it's been great, and I've been going with the messages from the mentor, that those are the ones that are, it's a little bit like, so for example, where I work, there are lots and lots of people, and they all have lots of views and opinions, and I couldn't possibly engage with all of them. And so they're just saying their thing, and I'm just, you know, nodding or whatever, just carrying on doing my job.
Yes, because if you stopped and engaged with all of that, especially all of the negativity that we conditioned people are capable of possessing, right, you'd never get anything done. And it would be a very unhappy process.
Yeah, very. Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to be in unhappiness. I want to be in happiness, so.
Yeah. So, and you don't have to fight with them. You don't have to argue. You don't make a different case. It's just, and you go on about what you experience as true, which
Absolutely.
Is what the mentor is talking to you about.
Yeah, yeah, and that is what's happening. I'm not even arguing with the voices. They're Mm-mm. just there. But
yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I smile, and I'm smiling, and I'm smiling when I'm doing it, and I'm going, yes, it's a great body, yes. Love it. I don't want to change anything.
Yes, exactly.
So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I were going to change anything, it would just be to say, thank you more.
Thank you more. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Definitely.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Enjoy your evening. Okay. Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye. Bye to everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Anna. That was a wonderful conversation about just appreciating everything, appreciating the body, but also appreciating the ability of intelligence to be aware of ego not being the body. In fact, what was dropping in for me is that's what I wouldn't change about it, that the ego is not the body.
Yes. Thank God, huh?
I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
This is Claire from London.
Well, hello.
Hi. So we've got an English day today.
Yeah. Very lovely.
Yeah, so I wouldn't change it, I said, but I would practice to appreciate my body and look after it in the way that it's calling me to do. And learn to hear it more clearly.
That's such a great point. I don't want to change my body. I want to be, we could say change. Let's go ahead and do it. I would change how I am with it. I would be more appreciative, more attentive, take better care. Right.
Yes. I noticed that something that I do is I kind of allow other people to tell me how I should look after myself or not look after myself. Well, it's probably ego actually, but it's some, you know, it's kind of I take a sum total of all the advice that everybody's got to give me rather than listening to it.
Uh-huh. And even if people are giving us advice, which we all like to do, right? Well, we know it's not the thing to do, but we all like to do it. Because especially if we get excited about something and it's working for us, we want to share it with everybody we love. And it's still up to you, to me, to us, each one of us, to look and see what of that is so for us.
Yes. And I see quite a big gap a lot of the time. So, for instance, I'll try and do all of the looking after of my body in one go kind of thing to get it out of the way.
Yeah. And hope it lasts for several years, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, does it?
No, it doesn't actually, funnily enough.
Yeah. And so that's part of the being present, isn't it? Being here to hear the wisdom of the body, the wisdom of center, and be attuned to that and willing to follow it.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's fun. You think?
It, yes.
Are you enjoying it?
I am.
Good.
Oh, yes. Yeah, very much, actually. Yeah, mm-hmm. And in general, I saw that without my body, there's nothing, and with it, there's everything.
Yeah,
the whole of my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just incredible. It's like a country. There's so many facets to it, and so much going on. That, like Anna was saying, that you could never comprehend it all.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And ego, we get to see ego is just like the most spoiled child imaginable. Right. Everything, all of this, everything, all this ability to experience life, and then just focused on, but I don't like that. But that's not okay. But I don't want that to be that way. I don't like that.
Yes. Yeah.
When we step back from it and get a sense of the wonder of the body, what the body enables us to have and do and be and experience. I just am not interested in listening to a spoiled little complainer.
Yeah. Although I'm itching to say that if my body is everything that there is, and that is all of my experience, how could ego not be part of that?
Well, ego, remember, is the illusion of being separate from life.
Yeah.
So it is a part of it all. And I happen to, I don't know anything about this, but I suspect that it is... perhaps, you know, right up there with the most significant aspects of life, because it is the suffering that causes us to want to go beyond it in order to experience the divine as it is, to really be here for it. But the thing that makes it so tricky for us is that ego is an illusion of being separate from life. So even though it's smack dab in the middle of everything, it's constantly working to be other than.
Yeah.
So it's constantly saying no to the yes that is life. Does it do any good? No. In the way a spoiled, pouty child that is not affecting anything. It's just, it can make things unpleasant if we let it.
Yes. I think I'm going to have to listen to that again.
Well, let me know if it makes any sense, okay?
I will.
All right, good. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Gosho. Bye.
Gosho.
Thanks, Claire. You know, what was dropping in for me in that conversation, Sherry, is when we are intimate with, it's almost as if our relationship with our body illuminates the distinction between form and emptiness, that it gives us a sense of the movement between what is there and what is not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a metaphor for the relatedness in the spiritual process, because we inhabit it, we embody it, it is what we are and what we experience life through to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of me other than the whole world in which I experience is what you were pointing at. Where is that sense of me that's distinct from my experience of the entirety of the universe that is contained in this form? It's such a phenomenal way to explore that.
Yes. If I'm staying with you here, so what all of this enables me to get a glimpse of is what all of this is. So another way of saying that's clumsy and not totally accurate is that what is making all of this happen? What is it that's doing all of this?
Mm-hmm.
Through the this, we can have a sense of that, right? So if we talked about it, if we added awareness to the mix, then there's a growing awareness
of the awareness that,
yes, and that it's all, you know, that it's that question that you answered for Claire about how can the ego not be part of the body if everything is in the body. I think that suggestion to look at how awareness is aware of consciousness, which is a different way of saying what you said, is if they're all processes. There's a process that breathes them. There's a process that recognizes the breathing and the process that claims the breathing as its own. And, you know, there's a way in which it's all a how. And that's what mm-hmm. we get to see. It's all a how.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think I better get another caller on there before we get more esoteric.
We're getting in deep here.
Yes, exactly. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Ashwini and Sherry. This is Goli.
Hey, Goli.
Happy to be here.
Uh-huh. Happy to have you. Happy to be here as well.
Thank you, and I am super, super happy to be on the call to look at the question of how would I change my body, because from conditioned experiences, from a very early age, this person was told to start looking, you know, judging the body, and so it was a lot of focus on being short and being fat and having to go on a diet. And so that started a lot of interesting life experience workshops around food and body image and shaming. And it's and in fact, that is really in a very roundabout, maybe 20-year journey, what led me to this practice. So, yeah, it's hard to know whether to be sad about that or happy about that, but ultimately, because, you know, if I hadn't had that, and then I wouldn't have had the other one, and then I would not have read that person's books, and then I wouldn't have heard about Sherry Huber, and I wouldn't be here. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It really is one of the, so is it a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah. And of course it really is. Well, I don't know. I get right where you got to, Goli. I started to say, you know, it really is too bad that we have to go through all of that suffering over something that once we see, is so clearly, obviously, not the point of life. But again, if we didn't believe all of ego's crapola, we wouldn't suffer as we do. And if we didn't, we wouldn't be moved to try to awaken and end suffering. And so would we actually want an okay half-life of, it's fine, it doesn't matter how I look? Or would we rather go through that process and get to a point of, no, I want to end suffering?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. So the answer that I had for this, how would I change my body, is that judgment would tell me to be taller and thinner and younger, but love tells me that my body is perfect as it is. So
Yes. It's a perfect vehicle for you, right? That's the, when we put those two together, it's a perfect, each one of us is in a perfect vehicle for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in this modern world, we have lots of choices about vehicles, right? You can be a giant truck kind of a person, or you can be a Fiat kind of a person, right? A smart car kind of a person.
lots of choices. You can want to drive an old car because that makes a statement, or the latest, newest, because that makes us. So if we looked at our vehicles, those vehicles, mm-hmm. in that same way, we could mm-hmm. see a lot about ourselves, about what we value and who we are and that sort of thing. So in the same way, the body is such a perfect vehicle for us because it, mm-hmm. it shows us the karma that we have in this lifetime.
Well, yes. Yeah, so I guess so for me, you know, if I came in with a quote unquote imperfect body by society standards, that was the karma for me, is to look at that and see, you know, maybe if I can love this body in all of its, you know, the way it's defined, imperfections and
right
other.
Well, and it's that belief, right, and what we do with it. So there are a lot of people in this world who think short people are attractive. There are a lot of people in this world who think plump people are attractive. There are people mm-hmm. who find obese people attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
so none of what we bring to the assessment karmically mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. empirically true.
Mm.
Right? So these are the things that I am karmically predisposed to judge.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not the same as it is true that this is a flaw.
Mm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are some people who value being frail. Some people who value being strong physically.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, yeah. So some
yes,
people want
yes.
to be, yeah, athletic and coordinated. Other people don't care a thing about that. So mm-hmm. it's not, we can't get to anything that is true for everybody, true everywhere all the time. And so, again, it brings us back to seeing what we are projecting, what we are conditioned to project onto our circumstances, in this case our body, and then yes. to project out onto other people and believe that they are having the experience that we're having.
Mm.
And they're not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's funny to consider. And, of course, with the conversation we've been having this morning, that's what we're trained to do instead of being awed by the extraordinary nature of the body we have, whatever it's got going.
Mm-hmm.
And the whatever it's got going is really difficult to ascertain because we are so programmed to believe what we believe about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. All I see is the 10 extra pounds instead of the million things that it's doing all day, every day under the surface to, you know, keep everything
yes.
going.
Yes. And in terms of other people, you would not... Even, I don't know if this is true, but if we're just going to go with, you know, how it usually works, you would not be aware of people who didn't see the 10 extra pounds that you see.
Mm-hmm.
You would only project that everybody sees that. They're seeing
mm-hmm.
that and they're judging you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
no, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
There could be people who think it's 20 extra pounds, Goalie.
Yes, yes. Conditioning would love me to meet those people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all wonderful, but truly, if it is this weight thing that led me to this practice, so
yes,
a deep special to all of those experiences and to this practice.
Yes, and Goalie, one other thing about that, big gratitude for everything that it brought us, that brought us to practice, and opening to allowing practice to transform our lives going forward. So that the things that caused us to suffer and brought us to practice don't cause us to suffer for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Goalie.
Bye.
So happy.
That was an incredible conversation, Cherry. There were so many things in it that we could have the rest of the radio show for that, but I'm going to bring on another caller. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, it's Jill in Philadelphia.
Oh, hello, Jill.
Hello. Wow, I have just been tracking right along with everybody and just relating to it all.
Uh-huh.
I guess the thing that I was just thinking was, conditioning used to do this crazy trick on me, which was to take something about my body and hold it up as the reason why I couldn't achieve something or do something or why something wasn't happening in my life that I really wanted to happen. I have had so many awakening moments when I would get my body in some way to fit what ego was telling me it needed to fit, and it just was not the experience that, you know, ego was telling me was going to happen. You know, it's like gold coins did not fall from the sky. Like, it actually in some ways made my life a little bit more complicated and difficult in uh-huh. very surprising ways. And so it's just such a scam, this lie that ego always tells about what my body is, what is my relationship to it, and exactly what you guys were just saying, what is other people's relationship to it.
Yes.
It's just not, yes. It's not what it's telling me, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's not, and it's so difficult to see, isn't it?
It's really difficult to see.
It gives us such a clear, when we can glimpse it, it gives us such a clear glimpse of the depth of the conditioning that we are attempting to see through, or the thickness, or however, whatever, we literally cannot see what is so.
Mm-hmm.
It takes so much practice mm-hmm. to even begin to close in on what might actually be the case, because yeah. our filters are so thick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and mine used to be about, you know, my relationship with my body was all about how can it be attractive in a way that I want to. I think someone else mentioned that in this call, but lately it's like... It's just like, it's not even concerned with that anymore. It's like, it's just about pain and comfort, you know? It's like, how can uh-huh. I have less pain instead of be more attractive? And it just switches what it's interested in, whatever. It's like, it's all such a, like you're saying, it's very dense. It's very thick. There are so many messages that seem to confirm that, you know, that this is the right way to interpret the relationship and that something needs to be done about it and all of that stuff. And it's
Which
a problem.
Is another,
which is another great point, right? Yep. That's across the board, but with the body, it's a really easy way to see it. I only take in the messages that reinforce the beliefs that ego is feeding me.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I can walk past a bunch of magazines, or, you know, you're in the airport and you walk through the bookstore, and the only titles that I'm going to see are the ones that reinforce who ego says I am, what ego says I am, and what I should be doing about it.
Right. Yeah. It's so funny.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's so funny because I've been having this fascinating experience lately in my house in Philadelphia where, and I think I had this as other times in my life, where my house feels like an extension of my body. Like it feels like when I'm in my house, I'm in another body. And yesterday I had a structural engineer come, and I had some questions for him. And so he ended up walking around and telling me, like, I don't know, it was like 50 things that he saw was wrong with my house.
Get out of here, you.
And I was like, interesting. And it was really like, even hearing myself say that, it's like, was that really what he was saying? I mean, that's just sort of the constant, pull of ego is like, it's, you know, what am I hearing? Is it being interpreted as something wrong, or is it being interpreted as like information? Good information.
Yes.
I got a lot of good information yesterday, and so I was doing a lot of work yesterday around everything's fine. Like there's actually like no big issue. Whatever. It's all part of the awakening process.
Yes.
So
yep.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. All fascinating.
Yeah. It really is. Back to the the body and the that whole thing. I remember a few years ago, and maybe it's still being put forth, the idea that most women could carry an extra 10 pounds over what, what the chart says you should weigh, that it would actually be healthier to be heavier than, especially women, are taught that we should be, and who listened to that? Nobody.
Yeah, right.
I don't care about health.
Exactly.
I need to be thin.
Exactly. It is. It's. I mean, I'm so grateful for, and I love the conversation yesterday about like just the miracle of the body, and I just love this part of this retreat. So, many thanks.
Many thanks to you, Jill.
All right.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jill. And that actually brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. I think one of the most fascinating parts of it for me was that the lack of awareness of how the programming only allows us to see the programming and does not allow us to see anything else. And that the fascination of a practice of awareness is the discovery of what we're not allowed to see. We see the programming in order for us to know that that's what's blocking our sight, and that when we drop it, what are we able to become aware of that we're not, that we haven't been? But it's a transformation of seeing.
Yes. Yes, a transformation of seeing. Because there's everything to be seen. We're learning to be able to see it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And to be aware of what are the limits to our sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to our assignment, which is, what do you value about your body? Record and listen.
All right. Thank you so much, Ashwini. Good Lord
willing.
Thank you,
Sherry. Thank you, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.